let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some ass.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen and guest host Kristen. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and check us out on Spotify. Tonight we are chatting with the fabulous Touch Compass about their double bill lineup coming to Te Pau later this month. Then we head to the States for a check-in at the Junior Theatre Festivals before Kristen and I brace ourselves, because Hot Dish and Dick Slayson are in the studio to chat about their latest show, Potluck, a smorgasbord of drag talents. Now, to kick off the show, Dolly Parton turned 80 recently and released a special song to celebrate and reflect on where the world is at. Light of a Clear Blue Morning by Dolly Parton is featuring Lainey Wilson, Miley Cyrus, Queen Latifah, and Reba McEntire.
You know, we're living in troubled and uncertain times.
Yeah, we sure are.
But we can't let the darkness win.
It's time to wake up.
Yes, because I can see the light of a clear blue morning. Can you? It's been a long, dark night, and I've been waiting for the morning. It's been a long, hard fight, but I see a brand new day dawning.
Clear blue. Blue Morning. Happy 80th birthday, Dolly Parton.
Oh, she's so amazing. I love that song.
So cool. And look, Lainey Wilson performing in there, who is performing tonight as we're on air live in Christchurch. And we've heard tonight from our friends, the wonderful girls we interviewed a few weeks ago from down the deep South Island, Holton Heart. They've released a new song called Like Lainey, which is all about wanting to be like her. And they are with her tonight. I'm not sure if they're performing, but they're definitely with her tonight. So they'll be having a blast. So what a nice connection to that song.
That was a happy accident.
Yeah, really cool. So we'll play that a little later in the show, and I hope the girls are having a fabulous time down Christchurch. My goodness, there's been so much happening in the last few nights, music-wise. There's been events at Spark, Western Springs. We've had Laneway. Was there a jazz festival?
In the square.
UB40 touring the country. Oh, you name it. It's happening. It's great. It's pumping. It's really good to see.
I love it. It's so good to see people come out for the arts, all kinds of arts, right? And all the plays that are happening as well.
Yeah, I know. Now, speaking of plays, you were deeply affected. You went and saw Shakespeare in the Park, loved it so much, you brought a ticket to go back and see it again.
I did. I went and saw Much Ado About Nothing, a fabulous cast. I love the way that they did a twist. It was still Shakespeare, but in a in like a punk rock club, and I just loved it. It was so good. And Baraccio, who we had on here a couple weeks ago, I was telling you this in the car, that he took us like a side part and made it main character.
Cool.
He was so good. Yeah, I can't wait to go see it again.
That's cool.
It's amazing.
So good that there's so much theatre that's sort of kicked off already around the country. And reminder, if you're listening and have something coming up, email us info@kickarts.org.nz so we can promote it. Well, let's get into promoting the first fabulous production coming up from Touch Compass, Aotearoa's leading disability-led arts organisation. We're about to chat with Dr. Suzanne Cowan, who is an artist, choreographer and researcher, and has been an associate artist with Touch Compass since 1999 and a member of the Artistic Director Leadership Group since 2021. Her work explores disability and identity, informed by a PhD research in dance studies. Good evening, Dr. Suzanne Cowan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Great to be here.
It's great to be here. And look, Touch Compass have featured with Kick Arts. I mean, we've been going 16 years and you're a regular sort of check-in with different things that you've been doing. It just keeps growing and growing. You're doing great.
Thank you.
So tell us about this double bill that you've got coming up.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's a double bill with two shows, and the first show is a piece that I'm directing called Abilitopia, and that's quite a magical world that involves all sorts of different elements. We've got dancers, three dancers, and we've got a fully ChatGPT-enabled robot, and we've got an amazing sound score and amazing lighting and lots of various other objects that are kind of animated and that come to life during the show. So yeah, it's quite a magical world, and it's also a world that is very much informed by disability.
Disability meets AI by the sounds of it. A ChatGPT infused robot? Tell us more.
Yes. So it has been created specifically for the show, and it was put together by Anna Bedrew and Futian Zhu with the support of the University of Auckland's CARES Lab. And they built this robot, which involves a robot operating system-based platform and a large language model that is ChatGPT. And the robot interacts in real time with the dancers and the audience.
Wow.
And so it also has a role in the audio description of the show. So we really worked with creative ideas of approaching audio description. And so it does a bit of audio describing and interacting with the audience. And it also projects what it sees in the space. And it also morphs what it sees in the space. So, it's a lot of fun.
So how have you created or devised this whole piece? What was the process behind it?
Well, it was quite a sort of drawn out process over a period of time and working with different collaborators. And one of the collaborators we work with was Val Smith, and Val has designed the set and some of the costumes and objects on stage. And we worked a lot with this idea of, well, actually, in my research, I looked at this idea of the extended body, and that our bodies don't just stop and start at our skin, that they extend into space, into other objects, and, you know, sometimes even to other people. So I was working with this idea of the extended body, and that interdependence is very much our state of being. So instead of being sort of autonomous beings with a fixed identity, I was interested in how we actually are continually shifting form and collaborating and interdependent with all sorts of technologies, for example, like AI and objects in space. And yeah, we're just completely sort of interdependent. So yeah, it's quite a big concept to explore, but also quite fascinating and also very contemporary in terms of, you know, from a disability perspective. People with disabilities often use technology and different objects as a way of being in the world and mobilizing in space. And it was just a sort of a creative way of playing with this idea in the theatrical space.
And is this a first for your company and these performances to use these kind of robots, and could it possibly be a first in the arts over here?
Well, yes. As far as I know, yes. Well, certainly with Touch Compass, we've never used an AI powered robot before in a show, so it's definitely a first. And as I said, the robot was created specifically for the show. And I have been looking into AI and performance, and, you know, there are sort of various ways that people are playing with that. But in terms of having a robot that moves with dancers on stage and interacts with them and interacts with the audience, that does seem to be fairly unique. As far as I know,
we had a very interesting interview last year with a gentleman from the States who brought an AI ChatGPT stuffed cat, taxidermied cat, that he brought back to life. So it was actually his cat, and when it passed away, he froze it. Then he had it taxidermied, and then he brought it on a world tour, and he was doing like a comedy show, but the cat interacted with the audience. And people had to talk to it, and it was able to talk back, and we had to interview it. It was quite an experience for Emma and I. The only thing is we didn't have the real cat here because New Zealand Customs wouldn't let it in. So he had to use his 3D printed version that he travels with, and it was sitting at customs for him, and we were the only country that had not let his cat in. It was interesting. Anyway, now that's your first year double bill, and then you've got White Noise. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so that's a solo piece by Alicia McLennan-Marler, and her solo really explores issues to do with motherhood, as she's a mother, and also around communication and self-expression. And it's amazing show. It actually premiered in Brisbane. Last year, and it was incredible.
That is fascinating. And so what does Alicia hope to show us here about motherhood? What is the intention of bringing this to life with the other performance?
Well, again, as an artist with a disability, she is speaking from the perspective as a performer with a disability. And, you know, the very sort of specific experience she has of, you know, becoming a mother and the way that she communicates, you know, with her daughter, but also with other people. So a lot of the show touches on ideas of expression and how, Alicia has a cerebral palsy and she has a very specific way of speaking and how that really shapes her world. And also the responses that she receives from that world as well. So, yeah, there's a lot about self-expression.
So people will be able to expect dancing for both, but very different kinds? Is it going to definitely treat people to not just one sort of performance? Well, obviously, if only one has a robot, yes. But beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two pieces are quite unique. Touch compasses sort of come from a background of contact improvisation and, certain kind of movement forms which, you know, still kind of shape the sort of repertoire that we have on stage. But all the dancers are quite unique in terms of their personalities and, how they approach the stage.
How did it come about that these two performances are going to be together? Did you have a choice? Did you say, oh, I have, you know, a couple different choices of what to bring with Abilitopia? Or was it just a natural, these fit together well, they'll be able to tell two stories, but people will be able to get a nice evening of understanding and entertainment?
Yeah, I really wanted to have different perspectives. So, you know, rather than wanting to create one show, I wanted to create two shows. So really it's an evening of entertainment and you get to see two quite different pieces. So the idea was, you know, offering a variety of perspectives, but both coming from this strong lens of being disability-led and, you know, really coming from a disability world perspective, which is, you know, what we're aiming to explore and put on stage.
Brilliant.
That's amazing. I have another question. So this says it's the world premiere mm-hmm. of Abilitopia. Does this mean you're going to be taking it around the world?
I certainly hope so, yes.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
When you look back at your journey with Touch Compass, going right back to 1999, what have been some of the biggest changes you've noticed, I guess, in both the arts and disability arts world and in your own space?
I started out in 99 with a company and then the following year I moved to London and I work with a company based in London called Kanduko Dance Company for nearly 4 years, and then I came back to New Zealand and I started creating my own work. And what I've really noticed in that space of dancers with disabilities is that there has been a move towards the idea of, you know, we call it sort of integrated dance, so dancers with disabilities and dancers who don't have disabilities, and it was, you know, called integrated dance. We've kind of moved more towards disability-led work. So, and I think that's really like a political shift in terms of, you know, the dancers with disabilities really owning the space and sort of quite explicitly wanting to articulate their ideas, their worldview and their creativity, as opposed to being choreographed on by non-disabled people, which is great too, but obviously it comes from a different perspective. And I think when you get people with disabilities creating work, you get something new and quite unique with quite a unique aesthetic. And so I have seen that shift away. I mean, I suppose it would be a little bit like if we were talking about working with people of colour, you know, and if we call that an integrated dance company, people of colour and people who, are white. Mm. And then actually moving towards, to use another terminology, indigenous work. For example, in Aotearoa from a Māori perspective. If you think about it from a political perspective, it's quite a natural sort of progression to want to own the space and to want to create work from your own unique aesthetic. And I think people with disabilities offer a very different lens on the world, a very creative lens, a lens that's always adjusting and also creating. And I think it's exciting to see what comes from that perspective.
Yeah, true. Brilliant. Look, so good talking to you tonight, Suzanne. Now, this season is running at Te Pau from the 26th of February, is that right?
Yes, 26th, 27th, 28th, yeah.
And where do people head to book in and all those important things or to find out more about Touch Compass?
Te Pau. Yeah, Te Pau Theatre in Henderson.
Cool, that's your venue and bookings there at tepotheatre.nz. And if people want to find out more about Touch Compass, just do a good old Google and check you all out.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got a website and there's information about the show and also there's information about the show and the company on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, the usual social media platforms.
Brilliant.
As well as, checking out the website, touchcompass.org.nz. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So lots of ways, but yeah, we'd love to have obviously as many people along for our show as possible, and it's just great to have an opportunity. Yeah, I want to really thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
That's brilliant. No, all the best, and hopefully our listeners will get in behind and support, and there's plenty of things to see this month, so make sure you pop this one on your list and we'll make sure it's up on our Kick Arts event pages as well. Thank you so much, Dr. Suzanne Cowan, for chatting to us on a Sunday night.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
As we said at the start of the show, the wonderful Holton Heart girls, two young teenagers from the South Island, are at the Laney concert tonight. And here is their song. I wonder if they use social media to get it to them, called Like Laney. The message says, count how many Laney titles you can find in their song.
Well, kia ora, Izzy whānau. It is Emma here, and I'm currently in Sacramento at the Junior Theatre Festival West. Today is our adjudication day, followed by workshops, followed by a new work showcase. It's going to be a pretty full-on day. I'm an adjudicator, and that means I get to watch 7 amazing 15-minute segments from Broadway Junior shows, give live feedback, and generally get amongst it with a whole lot of kids from the States, South Korea, New Zealand, Canada, and Alaska. I think that's all the countries that are represented. It's just amazing, the amount of children that are here, and so colourful, all in their pod, bright coloured t-shirts. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about Junior Theatre Festival. I'm going to check in with a bit of a review of the shows that I saw in New York. So 6 shows in total this trip. We started off on our first night with Hell's Kitchen. Now, Hell's Kitchen is nothing to do with Gordon Ramsay. It's more to do with a teenage girl who happens to live with her mother in the area of Hell's Kitchen, which is not far from Broadway. The music is all Alicia Keys, so this is a jukebox musical. The singing, the dancing, I don't know how to describe it. Like, so many of the students we took, just, I think they really, really grabbed it. It is all hip-hop-inspired dancing. One set that has a few subtle changes, scaffold-style set and projections at the back. And as you can imagine, the music, I mean, Alicia Keys' music is iconic anyway. And then after that, we luckily had a bit of a Q&A with a few of the cast who gave some really amazing advice to young performers. But that's another whole conversation. Then the next day, I was so lucky. I saw 2 strangers carry a cake across New York. Now, this is a show that is carried by 2 characters. 2 unlikely strangers who turn out to be about to become auntie and nephew. Auntie Robin from America and Dougal all the way from London on his first time in America for what he thinks is going to be a bit of a dream trip to meet his dad. So again, this is actually a soundtrack that I've been listening to for over a year that I'm quite addicted to. To see it live on stage, phenomenal. So Revolve stage, you arrive and there's just a whole pile of suitcases. And now these suitcases, without giving too much away, become everything. And the Revolve just makes the whole show continually travel, which is fabulous. Definitely one that I highly, highly recommend people get to. Next show on the list was Death Becomes Her, which was a show that I've missed the last couple of times I was here, so I really wanted to get to see it. I loved the spectacularness of it, the colour, the costumes, the sets. The production elements were fantastic. The singing, again, wow, when those 2 main lead females sing together, the power and the strength was just palpable. The story, maybe it was day 2 jet lag for me, I'm not sure, but it just didn't grab me. I love the movie, but it didn't sit well with me this time, but that's not saying it's not a good show. How is that for a really bad review? One thing I wanted to add about Death Becomes Her, when we get to a famous line in the show that's been made virally famous due to TikTok, and I've never been in a show where the whole audience spontaneously calls something out. So, of course, it's that famous line, "That's so rude," and the whole audience responded with their line, which was, "That's so beeping rude." Next up, total surprise to me, at the last minute,
we managed to get tickets to Just in Time. Now, this, of course, stars the one and only Jonathan Groff. So, absolutely amazing. Now, I really had no idea what this was all about. But basically, it's a biopic about Bobby Darin. And there's so much I didn't know about this man. He died very young, had a moment with Connie Francis, and then went on to marry Sandra Dee. Absolutely, absolutely stellar performance. Intimate theatre at Circle in the Square, which is the kind of basement theatre underneath Wicked. What else can I say? So we got standing room only tickets to start off with. So act one, we were in standing room, right on the side, could see everything, fantastic. And then we saw that there are a couple of seats down the front centre that were empty through first half. So second half, we went and sat down close enough that we could reach out and we could have probably touched the actors. Absolutely thrilling. Absolutely. I would actually almost say this was my favourite show this trip. Had some absolutely beautiful moments. And again, something people definitely need to get to. And then the next show on the list was a show that I've seen before. A show that I recommended we took the students to. A show that moved me so much. And I'm not totally sure why it got into me so much, but yeah. So anyway, it was The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's famous story that was brought to life from its book form to movie with an amazing lineup. Check out the movie. It's got every male star actor under the sun. Anyway, this musical, just such a beautiful story told in such an amazing way. I think the strength of all the male dancers and females, the way that they used the set, which was a space rather than a place. So it was one kind of nucleus set that doesn't change as such. Planks of wood, tires, an old car. And with lighting effects and subtle changes, it takes us to all the different places, the park, the movie theatre, the house, the church, the hospital, seamlessly. And along with the music, I don't think there was a dry eye in the house. And this show has to be seen by people. And excitingly enough, I've heard that it's coming to Australia. So, hey, maybe it's a chance for people to jump over and check it out because, wow, on the second viewing, I love it even more. And then to finish off the trip, I had to get along to Moulin Rouge. Now, I haven't seen this for a while. It is closing shortly on Broadway. Again, we walked in with some students whose wow and explanation, you know, their kind of sounds. As we walked in, they were blown away by the spectacular nature of the place. And then, you know, again, loved it. The main leads, the males, absolutely phenomenal. I did feel a little bit that Satine was unfortunately singing flat, and that didn't quite get me. Maybe it was just the coldness of New York. I'm not sure. And the four burlesque players that sing Marmalade, etc. Again, dancing, yes, phenomenal. But there was just something that felt underdone. I don't know, something again. I'm going to say it, and I said it about Death Becomes Her. It just didn't sit with me right. I didn't feel it had the same polish and pizzazz. Not sure if that was because I was tired. It was our last day in New York. It had been a really big day. Or whether it was just that maybe the show is getting towards the end. Not sure. But again, wouldn't say don't go. Just saying it wasn't my favourite of the trip. I could have probably seen something else. But anyway, six great shows and a great time away. So not long till I'm back. I see you guys next weekend after having finished the festival here, and then off to LA for a final 3 days of total joy and fun at the happiest place in the world, Disneyland, and then on to Universal Studios before flying home. And we'll catch you up on my last week when I'm back in studio with Stephen next weekend. So have a fabulous week, and keen to hear your thoughts on any of these shows I've talked about. Maybe I should put a bit of a post up on socials so you can comment. But anyway, kick some arts.
Thanks, Emma, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Say hello to Peter Pan for me when you go to that happiest place on earth. We'll decide over the next week whether we talk to you or not next week, because I'm kind of jealous for the amount of shows that you've seen. So it might be a very quiet show next week. But nah, seriously, well done, and thanks for sharing with us. I know you sound tired. You've had a massive, massive couple of weeks at both festivals, so we appreciate you zooming on into us. Now, Chapel Roan has made quite an impact in New Zealand and has loved New Zealand and Auckland in particular, so we better have a bit of Pink Pony Club as we get ready for our potluck smorgasbord of drag talent entering the studio.
Stay, but I can't ignore the crazy visions of me in LA. And I heard that there's a special place where boys and girls can all be queens every single day. I'm having wicked dreams of leaving Tennessee. You Santa Monica, I swear it's calling me. Will make my mama proud. It's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl. I know she's gonna scream. Girl, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh, mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong, down at the bathroom and a line outside the door. Black lights and a mirror disco ball. Every night's another reason why I left it all. I think my wicked dreams are here from Tennessee. Oh, Santa Monica, you've been too good to me. Won't make my mama proud. It's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl. I know she's gonna scream. Girl, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh, mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong, down at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing down in West Hollywood. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. Pink pony club. Don't think I've left you all behind. Still love you, and Tennessee are always on my mind. And mama, every Saturday I can hear your southern draw a thousand miles away. Saying, God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh, mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong, down at the pink pony club. I'm gonna
Pink Pony Club. I didn't hear it. I live close enough to Namo, but didn't hear it.
Aww.
I was disappointed. Hey, I do have a confession.
Uh-oh.
Do you know what I did this morning?
Dun, dun, dun.
Got up, made my cup of tea, made my toast, and I watched The Muppet Show back on Disney Plus.
That's amazing. I said the wrong thing. It might have been, la, la, la.
Oh, it was so, I just had to see it. It was so cool to see it. Although I have to admit, and I know why, because he's passed away, but the Kermit voice was just so different. Mm. You know, everyone's nodding in the studio. There was just something missing, but it was still so cool to see it.
What was
alive
the
and oh. digital.
What was the highlight?
For me, it was just seeing all those old characters again, like Waldorf and what's-his-name up the top in the balcony.
Statler.
Yeah, yeah, just those. Just that they had kept everything. I think that's what I love, that the next generation can watch it as it was in the past, just with a little bit more digital oomph to it. But I love that it still had its sort of integrity of The Muppet Show. Yeah.
Oh, that is a great, that's a so great cool. confession.
That was a great start I to love Sunday that. Morning. Well, from Muppet Shows to Potluck, a smorgasbord of drag talent, a big welcome to the show, Hot Dish and Dick Slayson. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
It's great to have you both back in the studio again. Welcome back to Kick Arts. Now, you keep busy, you're always doing lots of different things. So what's made you pull this show together and what is it all about?
So this is an idea that I've had because my name Hot Dish comes from, I believe I said this the last time I was on, but it is what Minnesotans call casserole.
Mm.
So potluck, food.
Perfect.
And for this, it's everybody is bringing their best, so we're all bringing dishes to serve to the audience, like a potluck.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. And who doesn't want a hot casserole in the middle of 35 degree heat summer?
Yeah, true.
Shouldn't this be a midwinter dish?
Well, technically where I'm from, it is midwinter.
True. All right, we'll eat you off. Okay, and how many fabulous artists have you got making this show up?
That's a good question. We have roughly 20 artists.
Wow.
And it's
over five nights, yeah.
Over five nights, yes. So
different artists, different nights.
Yeah, it's a rotating cast. So if you come on Monday night, it's going to be totally different than something you would see on, like, say, Thursday night. Even though we're not doing Monday night, it's Tuesday to Saturday. I am so sorry about that.
Brilliant. Yep. Okay, and what's both your involvements in this? Are you producing the whole thing?
Yep, I am producing the whole thing along with Margarita Blades and Rochelle. And it's a big undertaking. I'm also the host, so that's always something I love doing because you get to know the audience a bit and, hype up the performers, hype up the audience, and just have fun with it.
Nice. Mm. What about you?
Well, I'm performing and I'm also just hyping Hot up as much as I can. And my little secondhand bookshop is donating some books to the prize festival. The prize festival.
The prize pack.
Nice.
Yes, because we are doing a quote-unquote meat raffle in the middle of the show. And we have four really fabulous sponsors, so that's another reason for people to go.
Great. Yeah. Give them a plug. Give them an acknowledgement.
I can definitely do that. So I just plugged our first sponsor on social media, which is Arkham City Comics in Royal Oak. And then, obviously, Dick Slayson is donating a few books. Yes. I believe you said some pirate books.
Yes, so these are very steamy books, very steamy, very gay. Some of them are about pirates and some of them are about vampires. Mm.
Mm-hmm. That is totally
some of them
fun.
About vampire pirates.
The best kind.
I was about to say, I'm like, most things I produce are very nerdy, so that's really in line with my usual audience. Who else have we got? We have Dreaming in Thread, who is donating some
scrunchies.
Yes. I was going to say, I'm like, I saw scrunchies in the bag, and I was like, ooh.
Yes.
Ooh. I might take those, but no, I won't do that to you. And then our last sponsor that I picked up today, only one prize, and I'm not sure, I'm not going to tell what night we're giving it away on, but it is a $50 voucher to Live and Let Die in Mount Eden.
Mm.
So, you know, give yourself a little bit of fabulous hair.
Right. Great. And what was sort of I guess your thoughts behind pulling this together. What's the hope of this show?
My hope for this show is to bring together a new and established drag artist. I'm especially keen to get more drag kings on stage, just because we don't get as much opportunities as the drag queens. That's just how the industry is, unfortunately. So any opportunity that I can give kings to get their butts on stage, especially newbies who are just like, oh, I'm kind of curious about trying this, but I don't know. Yeah.
Do you think it's the television world that we're in that drag queens have, because of some big key shows, have really come to the forefront? Or
there is no drag king equivalent of RuPaul.
Yeah.
No, and so unfortunately, they're
not on TV.
Unfortunately, they don't really plan to bring drag kings into the mix, which is a bummer, because if you talk to any of the drag queens in the Auckland drag community, they will tell you that the kings are the ones that serve. Like,
you saw serving hot dish, hot lunch.
Very important
branding.
And we also just want to make like something really kick ass for Pride.
Yeah,
and it feels at the moment, unfortunately, quite a lot like protest to be able to do this thing, even though it's fully joyful for us to get on stage and strut our stuff. It just feels really important right now.
Mm.
It does. And on that note, I mean, queer joy is a form of resistance. Mm. So quite important that we keep doing our art, because you don't want to bring the scary world into it, but it's something we are living in.
Mm.
But if we can continue to do our art and be happy in who we are,
Do you feel in these last 2 years we've taken a massive step back in that space just because of a few loud voices, or is it just actually those loud voices that have stepped back in?
Ooh, that's a hard one.
I think I'm too new to the scene. I only debuted a year ago, so for me, this is what it's always been like.
In the drag scene, I kind of feel like more people have become a part of it. It's like they see something's happening and they want to be a part of that little...
intervene.
Yeah. Mm. Almost like things are not the greatest they could be, so I want to be a part of this thing where people are actually having fun amidst everything.
Mm.
So that's what I've kind of noticed.
Mm-hmm. And are all these single acts? Are there any kind of partner acts?
There is going to be a partner act on the Friday
Funny
show.
You should ask.
Oh. Yes, that was the perfect little segue, because myself and Dick are planning to do Blues Brothers.
That is one of my favorites.
All I can say is Dan Aykroyd talks very fast.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of fun with this one.
Oh, are you going to shake a tail feather? Is that...
No, everybody needs somebody to love.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing. That's going to be a highlight.
It's such a classic movie. I love that movie so much.
Are the performances a mix of music and comedy, or is it very much music?
It's very much music. We do have a brand new queen who I believe is going to be singing.
Mm.
So that's really exciting. We actually have, I believe, 3 or 4... complete newbies, like they've never been on the stage before.
That's so awesome.
So
that's beautiful.
I know that. Aww.
I know. I'm always excited when somebody new comes to the stage, just because you get to share that with them, and what they see you having fun with, they get to actually take part in that. So
yeah, in a nice supportive environment, great theater venue, nice space to make that debut.
Exactly.
And get comfortable with your role. Yeah. That's cool. So how long have you been sort of working the scene?
Let's see, I was doing burlesque for a while. I have been on stage since I was a newborn. I've been meant to do drag my entire life because I played baby Jesus in a play.
Oh.
No jokes.
Everyone always has a start in the nativity play.
We have
right?
so
yes,
many.
Everyone's origin story.
We should clock that, because I reckon that's every week since the start of this year. Someone in our show has been in a nativity.
Amazing.
Little did we know how much that was going to start people's careers.
Yeah, I mean, evidently. And then I started doing drag in 2023. I actually started doing drag as one of my favorite MCU characters, and I've kind of made myself a little reputation as the Star-Lord of drag. So
nice.
Yes, unfortunately he won't be at potluck, but you get hot dish who is pretty much the same thing. Now, only Minnesotan.
Now, do you have a different outfit for every night or a different persona? Or are you just like, I'm MC, kind of like cabaret MC? Like,
yeah, it's going to be the same for each night, just it's a little bit easier. Because doing a different shtick each night would be a little bit tough.
Right. Yeah. And directing it and all of it. Yes.
Yeah. So we're trying to keep it as easy on Hot Dish so he does not lose it halfway through the show.
When was it that you decided that you felt the most comfortable doing a drag persona? Like, when did you go, this is me. I've found my place.
Honestly, like, within the first 5 minutes of being on stage, when I got into drag and... Sorry, I just touched the table. I know that we got scolded about that right beforehand. I've always been a tomboy, so it was a pretty easy shift for me. And I got on stage that first time when we did a show called Garters of the Galaxy. Got up on stage, started doing my thing, and I'm kind of like, this is kind of fun. And then some random girl, I was just telling Dick about this, some random girl in the audience just screamed out, oh my god, I love you! And I was like, I am, yeah, okay. That's it.
I'm in.
Low. Yeah.
I was like, I'm in. And yeah, it's been pretty addictive ever since.
Mm. Cool. What about you, Dick? When did you sort of first take on the drag world?
Well, I went to one of the Cabaret Coven shows where Hot was playing Star-Lord. It was DC versus Marvel. And I don't know if you've ever seen Community, but there's this line where the dean is watching something on. He goes, I hope this doesn't awaken anything in me. And that's what happened. Like, I literally was like, oh my god, this is something I could do. I'm genderqueer, and playing with gender in that way was so exciting to me, and to see how embraced it was from the audience. So the next show that the Cabaret Coven did, I volunteered to Stage Kitten, which is this stage handing. And I did that in drag, and everyone was really, really lovely about it.
Because he's awesome about it.
And that gave me the courage to actually go ahead and do a solo act this time last year at the Drag King Mega Show in February last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, almost a whole year ago.
That's cool. And how much prep are you putting into this one?
Into this one, I am reusing an act that I already did last year. So all I've got to do is relearn the choreo, which I have not done yet because we just did a boy band act at the Drag King Mega Show last night, and there was a lot of choreo for that.
A lot.
So that has been my entire brain.
Yeah.
So that's my plan for this week, is to relearn my old choreo and, of course, do the Blues Brothers stuff.
Yes.
So not too much prep, actually.
Yeah, because Blues Brothers is more character-based. We don't have to worry. Speaking of, like, things being stuck in our head, I still cannot get that one song out of my head.
From last night?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
You should probably know which one.
Oh, it's been Bye 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 for me all day.
Okay, no, it's been When the Lights Go Out.
When the Lights Go Out by Five, yeah.
It has been in my head for the last 3 weeks.
Was part of our mix.
Tell us about this event so our listeners understand what we're talking about.
So, this was the Drag King Mega Show last night that was hosted by Hugo Girl. And, Hugo once a year gets together as many drag kings as he can and puts on a show. And five of us, three of us from Auckland and two from Napier, decided, let's do a 90s boy band act. And what's really funny about this is, in the 90s, I was like the grunge alternative kid, so boy bands, yuck. And they pulled me into this, and I'm like, I have no idea what this choreo is. I barely watched it when it was on MTV, but hey, let's do this. And it was actually one of the most fun things I've ever done. So...
That is so cool. All right, we're going to take a short music break, and then we will catch up more with this fabulous two. Now, UB40, did any UB40 in your act last night?
No. They're not really a boy band.
No, true, true. UB40 have been travelling the country and whipping up a storm, especially down south. So I asked Kristen what was her favourite UB40 song to play, and this is it.
They say we're young and we don't know. Won't find out until we grow.
Well, I don't know. babe. I got you, babe. I got flowers in the spring. I got you to wear my ring.
A goodie, an oldie and a goodie, and I bet you people have had fun bopping along at the concerts.
Well, you gotta love anything inspired by Cher as well, which is, you know, maybe yes. very good segue back to talking to our fabulous guests, but Cher is another icon, just like Dolly for me, and anything that they inspire or play or remix or whatever, they show up, and I am 100% in.
Shall we tell our listeners about my near fatal error last week about Cher? Right at the end of the show. So I had this fabulous song I'd found that was Cher and Celine Dion doing this cool new song. It was amazing and really hooked into it. Ran out of time the week before, so never played it. Literally went to hit play at the end of last week's show, and as I'm about to hit play, I read a big disclaimer that had been added that it was complete AI.
Oh,
the video, the singing, everything. They've had to add the disclaimer. It wasn't on the first one. It got me. I've been listening going, this is such a cool album. How cool of them to do it. And there was no way I was going to play it. So yeah, it was a bit of a scramble last week to quickly randomly play a song and wipe out some adverts. But yeah, it got me. It got me. I felt tricked. But awesome too. Like really incredible. You wonder if they listen to something like that and go, gee, we should get together and sing.
100%.
100%. So cool. But you have permission to rip off Cher at your performances, because that's what that's what good drag does, and it's allowed. So what about the audiences coming to this? Like, you know, we just talked about the world and where it's at in New Zealand, where it's at lately, and how cool it would be now to get new audiences coming along, because you'll have your regular supporters. But, you know, who do you think will enjoy a night out like this? It's for everyone?
It's for everyone. You need to know going in that it's going to be loud, and there's going to be a lot of screaming. But once you lean into that, it is the most fun you will ever have.
Exactly. We do not want anybody sitting there doing golf claps. We don't expect that. In fact, please don't. If you're not cheering for us when we do our stuff, we think we're doing it wrong. So expect that you are going to be loud. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to have fun. And just don't worry about anyone there judging you, because they're all there to have the same amount of fun that we're having on stage.
Nice.
And actually, after the Drag King Mega Show last night, I had a woman come up to me who must have been in her 70s, and she said, it's my first time at one of these shows. And I was like, oh my God, how did you like it? And she went, it was really loud, but you were amazing. So it was really
That's
nice,
cool.
actually.
But it's a still a safe space, like audience participation or engagement?
Oh, yeah.
That people can come along and feel that they can just sit back and enjoy.
It's not going to be, you know, like, we're up here on stage, you're out there in the audience, don't interact with us, don't talk to us. No, this is our party, but we've invited you to come. Invited you to come to the potluck.
Nice.
So that's what it is. It is just, like I said, where I'm from, potlucks are a big thing, usually held in church basements with salads that don't really constitute for salads because we put Jell-O and Snickers and everything.
And mayonnaise.
Yeah, sometimes mayonnaise. More like marshmallow fluff. Right. I'm not even kidding. There is a YouTuber who does a whole thing about Minnesota salads that aren't really salads. And it's all true. So it's something we love doing. It's a community thing. And my state's very big on community, and I have seen that a lot here in New Zealand, especially in the queer community. It's just we come together and do some really cool stuff, and that's the idea behind potluck.
And you'll see people, you know, singing along to the songs they know, or clapping, you know, in a rhythm.
Yeah,
or
we love
waving
that.
Their arms back and forth like we had last night. You know, like, there is a lot of interaction.
That's cool.
So they can expect a lot of music.
Yes.
Can expect a lot of glitz.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And so everybody then kind of can feel part of it. Like, they all get a seat at the table.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly it.
And it's okay for someone to come by themselves? Like, like, because, you know, sometimes it's hard to say, hey, come with me to this. But if somebody rocks up by themselves, I always talk about myself because I go to things by myself, that I would feel comfortable and...
Yeah, definitely. One thing I really like that, like Hugo says at his shows, that I actually kind of, I like adopting into our own, is you're going to make new friends tonight.
Mm.
So if you're sitting next to somebody, make a new friend. And that's what I really want to see with potluck, is if you come alone, yeah, you're totally welcome. Whoever you're sitting next to, just introduce yourself. You know, we're all friends here, basically. Mm-hmm. And that is something I do bring into my emceeing a bit, because I do like to call people friends when I'm emceeing. It's just, it's, you know.
That's nice.
It's non-gendered, and it's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You know what? I once threw a massive potluck dinner, and I had to explain to a few people what it was, and I said, you know, you bring a plate and things. I'll never forget this darling, Karen, and I'll name him, who turned up with a blank plate, just an empty plate.
No,
he'd never been to a potluck.
Yeah.
He brought a plate.
He did, and I said to him, did you not think that was a bit weird? And he did say, he said, I've been to your house a lot, and I did think you had quite a few dinner sets. I was a little surprised, but I didn't know how many people you had coming. We have never let him live that down.
That's amazing.
Even on here. Now, this is part of Auckland Pride Festival, which is taking place throughout February, with the Brig Pride Parade still kicking in at the end of the month. Is there any other things happening in the Pride Festival that yourselves is like, I've got to get along and see?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it trying to fit it in around your own rehearsals and events?
It's trying to fit it all in, but there's always Big Gay Out is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll be at that. I've got a stand where I'm selling my books. Which is not
and what is your bookstore name? You didn't say that before.
Oh, so this is separate again. So okay. I'm an author. So I will be selling my books. And then my bookshop is secondhand books. And that's Blue Hills Books in Parnell. I have too many side quests. It's a real thing.
I love it. No, that's it's a smorgasbord life. Like, that's the dream, I think.
It is. Yep. Exactly. And you will have posters up about potluck.
I will have posters for potluck up in my bookshop.
Nice.
Yeah. So we tie it all together.
Tie it all in.
It's all part of it.
All right, so Big Gay Out's your one you're looking forward to.
Yes.
Hot Dish, anything specific you're looking forward to as well?
Ooh. Honestly, if I wasn't doing potluck, I would be looking forward to the parade. My workplace is very LGBT inclusive, and they're building a nice big pride float. They're really excited. I just feel really bad that I can't be a part of it, but I also have a really good reason, so.
Yeah.
And Hugo's Rainbow Show is on at Tapac next Saturday, I think, which is a drag for kids show about the science of rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. That's cool. So what's coming up next for you both? What's on the horizon in 2026?
In 2026, one of my side quests is I'm an illustrator and an author, and I have a webcomic / graphic novel called Deadly Nightshade that I will be continuing to post in March, every other Wednesday. So yeah, it's about the Victorian age and a brothel in London where three of the girls go after Jack the Ripper.
Ooh.
So it's a lot of fun to write. And then in May, I am doing Garters of the Galaxy Volume 2 with Cabaret Coven. That is on the 23rd of May. So Star-Lord will be making a comeback.
Brilliant. It was Cabaret Coven that we first met you, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. For the Bowie versus Queen show.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. Okay, so that's going to keep you out of mischief. Dick, what have you got coming up?
I've got a whole lot of books planned, but aside from that, I've got a Spider-Man act planned for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
That's going to make me cry.
It's going to make everyone cry. That's my plan.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then we're getting the boy band back together in July for
yes.
Dragon Paisley in Napier, which cool. will be very, very fun.
So the boys will be back in town.
Yeah.
Also... They talked about the fact they're doing this Spider-Man act that when he ran it by me, I was just like, no, it's too soon. It's too soon. But another King and myself are doing a Star-Lord Thor duet. Because in my opinion, Thor Love and Thunder did not give us the gay romance that we all deserved and that everyone, actors, director, producers, except Disney, we're on board for.
Mm.
So we're going to give them that.
Nice. Now, do you consider that fan fiction or you just consider that?
I consider that normal because, oh my gosh, wow. You guys are going to hear this. I am a big comic nerd. Star-Lord is canonically bisexual. And that's part of why I love playing him because it's like, yeah, okay, that's me, basically. Mm. Now, a bi who kind of loves dad rock and is a total dork.
So. Well, and I have to ask this. Do you think, I guess based on how the Blues Brothers do on Friday, would you bring, maybe extend that? Like, that could in itself be a whole show, right?
Oh, man.
A Saturday Night Live show.
That would be pretty amazing.
Mm.
I've actually wanted to do a TV tropes show at some point.
Yes.
Because...
I'd be all over that. There's so much to mine there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did when I first conceived of the Blues Brothers show because I came too hot with it. I imagined getting all of these drag kings to just be like the band in the background. You know how there's that guitar player with all the hair and stuff. I was just, oh, how amazing. But that's a bit much for just one show, but
someday
if we did a whole show.
Yeah, I think TV trope is going to happen because also everybody seems to think I should do an Andy Dwyer act.
Oh, yes.
I say this as I'm sitting here with a mouse rat shirt on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a, I think we have to do it now.
I just have a vision of Hot Dish's house where, I don't know, I'm seeing a massive dining table which has got sketches, plans, scripts, songs, probably an 80s or 90s tape deck player. Like, am I sort of in the zone? Like, I imagine your world is a little bit of so many things, which I love.
Yeah, actually, my
plus
partner.
A dog.
Plus a dog. Okay.
And my dog is named Cosmo after Cosmo, the space dog from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, and shelves with all kinds of, like, action figures and, like, a, you know, a cornucopia of just total... action
and some
fun.
Homemade pottery pot like dishes, like casserole dishes. Just to
cookbooks.
You pretty much describe my home. And a lot of IKEA furniture too.
Okay. All right.
Keep it simple to put the attention on what's important, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Which is all of my action figures.
Love it. Love it. Let's take a music break, and then after that, we'll find out how people can grab tickets and do all those important things for your show. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the different people that catch us on social media, and I have to laugh because this person had a song pop up, and I had never heard of her before, and I sent a message and just said, hey, really like your song, this is Kick Arts, would you be interested in, you know, sending us some tracks? And she wrote a beautiful reply saying, thanks so much, we'd love you to play my songs on the show, here's the link to things. And then I come on and realise, she's huge. She's been doing music for the last 9 years and has, like, won Grammys and things. And it probably wasn't her. It was probably a publicist that answered me going, oh, New Zealand. Oh, so sweet.
You don't know
I don't
that.
Know that. But it was a gorgeous message, so yeah. I'm going to honour it and play Rachel Platten with Begin Again.
Thank you. need a wrecking ball. I want the sky to fall. God, I feel so small tonight. I need a wrecking ball. I could crash and fall. Could it break my walls and make it right? Can I begin again? Can I begin again? I need a tidal wave. Come and wash away all the mess I made to make it right. I need to make it right. Just wanna close my eyes, make it go away. When did everything fall apart? When did the nightmare start? Why is it so hard to find a way to begin again? Oh, 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 oh. To begin again.
Rachel Platten. Check her out on YouTube or all your favourite download sites. There's some really cool tunes. And, yeah, not new, but great use of social media because it got my attention, which is what we love.
Absolutely. She's very talented.
Yeah. Now, a couple of things I'm interested in. How do you create your content? So when you are creating your next performance piece or, you know, some of these acts you talked about coming on have just got a sort of small slot, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
When do you suddenly go, oh, that's an idea or that's a song or, you know, how do you create that individual performance?
That's a fun question because it honestly varies. So, like, I'll be listening to music on either YouTube or Spotify and sometimes it'll push just a random song at me that I haven't heard. And it's like, oh, that's a good song. And then suddenly it's like, wait a second. That could actually be a good drag act. And there was this one song, I remember this really distinctly. It was, because I'm a nerd, I play video games too. And there's this series of games that I play that they're horror games. Even though I'm not a big horror fan, it's just the plots are quite good. And there was this song in one called Monster. And I was like, oh, that is a really wicked song. And then, that particular game was about werewolves, but the game before that was about actually a legend I'm really familiar with. It's an Ojibwe legend of the Wendigo, and like those were, we told stories about Wendigo. Like I had a camp counselor that was Ojibwe when I was a kid, and so I was like, oh yeah, cool. And then I was like, wait a second, this song, I could do a Wendigo act, and that is one of my favorite acts that I do. It's really. It's spooky, and evidently I awoke something in your partner.
It was super hot, and not just hot dish hot. It was like me and my partner were attending a Drag King mega show before I debuted, and hot dish came up the aisle and kind of leaned in with these horns and this. There was the mask there at that point, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a romance writer, and I've been talking about various genres to my partner, and my partner sort of said to me afterwards, I understand about monster romance now. I'm glad. Like, yeah, I get it. I get it.
I'm glad I could awaken that. That makes me happy. So it's really random. Sometimes I will have, like, I really wanted to do a cowboy act, because cowboy drag king is just kind of one of those tropes that I think everyone has to do, and it's so much fun. We had three cowboy acts last night.
Three.
Oh. Which, anytime that a drag king gets up and does a cowboy act, I'm just like, yes, yes, please. So I really wanted to do that, and I was looking for the right song for ages, and then suddenly it was I do one now to Midnight Ride by Orville Peck and Kylie Minogue. Mm-hmm. Just because I love, love, love Orville Peck. And, yeah, so sometimes you have a concept that you want to do, like, oh, I want to do, like, your debut as a Peter Pan act.
Yeah.
Or I want to do, like I said, the cowboy act. It's just, and then you kind of try to figure out the song.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just a song comes up, and you're like, oh, that's it. That's what I want to do. So, yeah.
And if you flip hats now to your producer hat for a show like this coming up, do you as producer say to all your possible acts, hey, I want it themed along this line? Is there something that links it all together? Like, or is it just, you've got 10 minutes, go for it?
Some shows are themed. Like, sometimes I really love doing themed shows. So, like, last year we did Jurassic Park. And so everything had to be kind of like prehistoric or dinosaur themed. Guardians of the Galaxy, space or comic themed. Potluck is just what it sounds like. It is a catch-all. Right. Because, yeah, you know, like, at a potluck,
anyone can bring anything.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone can bring anything to a potluck. Like, you don't know what you're going to get because, you know, everybody says that they're not going to bring dessert, and everybody brings dessert anyway, and nobody brings the chips.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're going to get. So these ones aren't themed, and it's just whatever you want to put on stage, put it on stage.
Nice. And how long is the whole show?
The whole show is an hour long. So we have 9 acts each night, and then me talking and running the meat raffle.
Nice. It, for something like that, do you come together and rehearse it so that you've each seen it all run, or is it literally a part like we're on the night, you're going to see it for the first time too?
We do tech runs, obviously, right, so, right, you know, they can get their lighting correct.
But that's the same day.
That's like, same day.
There's no earlier rehearsal.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Unless, like, if you're doing a group act, then you tend to get together and rehearse so that you're not doing totally different dance moves than everyone else.
So there's an element of trust there in your performance, that they're bringing something that you're going to trust is okay with your brand.
Yeah, and, like, so at the moment, we have, like, all the performers' music, and Margarita has been compiling it into set lists for each night, or run orders. Used to always call them set lists, but people call a run order here, and I'm like, I gotta get that in my head. And it's finding kind of that flow of, like, okay, does this song and this act go well into the next, and then I have to rework my MC notes into that, so it's, yeah. It's a lot
and
of
you
work.
put in guidelines when people apply as well. Like,
yeah, like you generally want some guidelines because you have to be a little bit careful of what might trigger somebody in the audience. And when I say trigger, I generally don't like having things around violence or like especially sexual violence. That is an absolute no-go in any of my shows. And I'm trying to think of what else. That's really my big one. It's like, I don't want to see anything, you know, around those topics, because, yeah, you can kind of touch on, like, I've seen somebody has done, like, a Carrie act on stage before, so there's that element of, like, psycho murder, and it's like, okay, you can touch on that, but there's just certain things you don't do.
Yeah. You want the audience leaving away on a high.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Getting that vibe from you
for
both.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing this to lift people's spirits. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes art can be used in a way that comments on current situations. I personally have an act that is a comment on what's currently happening in America. And that is a really specific one that I can only do for certain shows because it's an act that actually made me cry when I was done with it. So I was like, this is one that only kind of fits for really specific shows. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't be doing it at Potluck because Potluck, I really want to send people off in a good mood and, like, happy with what they've seen and, you know. Nice. Good feelings all around. We want that.
And especially if you have beginners, you want them to come back and to really have, a really good experience, as well as the audience to say, because I'm sure you want to grow this and so let that, you know, kind of snowball into something, you know, more of that. Or even inspire some of the audience to say, I want to do potluck.
Yeah, exactly.
Worked
for me. Yeah, I was going to say, it worked for me. So, yeah, that's exactly what we want to do, is inspire people to get on stage if they want to, or just to go home feeling something fun. Yeah.
Nice. Now, I asked Hot Dish to take their producer hat.
Sure.
And if I took your Dick Slayson hat off and put on your writer hat, it was only a few weeks ago you were here talking about writing. So you've got a couple of minutes. Fill us in on some of the current books that you've just released and got out there.
Okay, so my pen name generally is my real name, Jamie Sands. And I've, as I was here 2 weeks ago, we're putting out an anthology of queer Auckland writers called Rainbow Stars Unite. That is launching on the 28th, and then it will be available online and in my bookshop. And then I've got a bunch of gay contemporary romances planned, and my very first high fantasy story, which is, you know, otherworld high fantasy, like Tolkien-esque, but is very, very cozy. It's going to be about the repair shop in a fantasy world. So few chapters into that, and I keep getting distracted by other deadlines. So once I've got my teeth into it, hopefully it will be out before the mid-year, probably.
And how cool to have your own bookshop. So you're self-publishing and you have your own bookshop to sell it in.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And it's nice to talk about romances because it's February.
Yes.
Like I noticed that the Auckland libraries, and I read off Libby, that have, if you read three books, you get in for a draw, like three romances.
Yes.
So I put aside my mystery and I went back to romances for the
For a prize. Yeah,
yeah,
love
But I'm like, not that I want to win, but I was like, oh, maybe I could pivot for a little while and read some, you know, some new romances.
I really love writing romance too, because so many of the stories that I read or saw on TV and movies growing up about queer characters had horrible endings. There would always be someone dying or something. So being able to write a romance where I know everyone's gonna end up happily ever after and
brilliant.
Not in the ground. It's very important.
I wish I could say with like my own story that everybody ends up happy and like.
No, but you've like, got Jack the Ripper. That's
I already know two characters that don't.
Nearly out of time now. Tell us, where can people go and get their tickets to come along to your potluck?
Yes, so you can come along to the potluck. You can either go to basementtheatre.co.nz or we have our event on iTicket. So that's where all of our tickets are being sold through.
And it's 17th to the 21st of February at the Basement.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. And content warnings, I love this, nudity, scenes of a sexual nature, strobe lighting, strong language and swearing.
Because the swearing's probably going to come mostly from me.
I love that strobe lighting is considered a content warning.
It's just in case some people, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. I know why, but yeah, I do juggle. That is absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for coming in on a Sunday night, especially after a big gig night last night. Go well with potluck. We'll do our best to come along and support, but team, head out there to Basement Theatre and book a ticket.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you. And if you've got something coming up, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. Got a few gaps in the schedule coming up, so make sure you come on. Remember that while we're live here in Auckland on radio, we are a podcast downloadable from planetaudio.org.nz or Spotify from anywhere in the country. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us over the last month while Emma's been away. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm sure we will be catching up with you a little later on in the year.
Thank you so much for having me, Emma. Thank you so much for letting me, you know, kind of sit in your space and just really enjoy all the arts. I definitely have bought more tickets in the I'm ready to buy some more. So I appreciate it, and I love the arts.
Thank you. Nah, thank you. It's been amazing, and we'll look look forward to your weekly comments on our posts. So stay in touch with our audience that way till we have you back on air. Last year, I debuted this wonderful gentleman, Peter Elias. Fantastic music. He's released a new acoustic version of a song called Call My Name. We'll leave it with that. Have a fabulous week and make sure you
kick some arts.
There's a river running wild. There's a blue sky hiding in those ocean eyes. I know life gets short sometimes, but I'll be there any place, anytime. Small is gorgeous, but you're hurting underneath. No, you can count on me. So call my name, I'll be there where you are. Through the fire and rain, be a light in the dark. Through the stormy weather, you won't ever be alone. When it all goes up, but you're hurting underneath. No, you can count on me. So
same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some